This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan Vermeulen, what are we going to do about the plugs? Do we need to go and take them out tonight?
No.
Yes, exactly.
Good questions, and good afternoon to you. Good
Hello.
To hear from you.
Okay, so have the new ones got this new adaptation where there's like a little, so you've got your plugs and then you've got a little flip down arm and that actually becomes a candle holder.
Yes, exactly. For, you know, stage 9 load shedding. In seriousness, no, this is a process, that's been ongoing for a long while now. South Africa is in the middle of a process to switch from those massive 3-prong plugs that you were talking about just a second ago to something that's a little bit more modern, something that's a little bit, slimmer, and something that's an international standard. In the shape of Europlug. So for folks who know what that is, if you don't know offhand what Europlug is, imagine like what a cell phone charger looks like. It's kind of that hexagonal diamond shape.
Yeah.
And it's such a frustration to plug those into some double adapters here in South Africa. Now imagine that every wall socket in the country can fit those comfortably because that's what they're designed to do.
Why are we doing this?
So a couple of reasons. So the first one, as I said, is this is an international standard, and so the process to switch to a more modern plug standard has been like 10 or 15 years in the making now, but probably even longer than that. And so what happened was the IEC, an international standardization body, tried to standardize the world's plugs. And so what they did was they developed a standard for the kind of power that is in America. They use 110 volt delivered at 60 hertz. Here in South Africa and a lot of other places in the world, we use 220 to 250 volt, and it's delivered at 50 hertz. Those two different power systems, the differences between them are quite significant. And so the idea was to have a single socket, plug and socket standard for both these two systems. And so the American one, it ended up looking like the American plug, and Japan and America uses those plugs. So that's resolved. The rest of the world, is a bit of a problem area. You have different plugs in the UK and Australia and elsewhere in Europe. And, you know, it's the 220 volt world is just a mess. But South Africa actually embraced this new standard, and we started switching to it while the rest of the world kicked against it. No one really wants to talk about it, but you know, there's these allusions to financial and corporate interests, as to why, the standard isn't more widely adopted. And so, that's the long version of the story. A shorter version of the story is our plug standards are really old. It comes from, pre-World War II Britain. It's not particularly safe. You know, it's very easy for kids to get there, or toddlers to get their little fingers in the holes of the sockets. And so, you know, the new standard is safer. It's more compact. It actually fits, with plugs that we already have lots of in the shape of laptop chargers, cell phone chargers, and so on. It just had to be modified to also take earth appliances like fridges and heaters and so on.
Fantastic. Jan, I want to move on. ICASA, they're in a battle. They're in a war, apparently, with the Department of Communications. Now, ICASA governing all telecommunications in this country, as well as, you know, anything with communications. They're the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa. What is going on? Because the... You know, I see that your headline is, and this is actually, you actually wrote the story, ICASA in danger of total shutdown as the minister withholds funding. Why?
Yeah, you know, just when I thought I'd heard everything, it's unbelievable. So this comes from a story that the City Press did on Sunday. So good work on them for sort of exposing the whole thing. And then, you know, ICASA kind of had to call a press briefing. But honestly, I thought I was walking into this press briefing where ICASA would kind of dress the thing up and say, oh, you know, they're in active discussions with the minister and they are confident the thing will be resolved. No. We walked into this emergency press briefing yesterday and they confirm everything. ICASA confirmed everything. They said, yes, absolutely. We were meant to have received our annual budget of 400 million rand, or at least a tranche of our annual budget at the start of April. We didn't receive anything. basically the Ministry of Communications is trying to manipulate ICASA by withholding its funding. From the report, as best we can piece together, the minister wants ICASA to remove references to 5G in its annual performance plan. And apparently this is something to do with scoring political points. No one is 100% clear on how this would work exactly, but basically the minister wants 5G stuff as part of her campaign, as part of her campaign to run. And so she doesn't want that in ICASA's APP. Now, the ministry has declined to comment, so we don't know their side of the story, but certainly from the reporting that's already been done, exactly, and from ICASA's confirmation, they maintain their good relations with the ministry, so they don't throw them under the bus. They didn't throw them under the bus in the media briefing yesterday, but this is what it sounds like, is that the minister is trying to score political points by having and trying to manipulate ICASA so that she's in a better position to do so. And it's honestly the least that I expected from this minister, and certainly it was something that's completely out of the blue. I mean, as I said, just when I thought I'd heard everything in this industry, including the Competition Commission's report, this thing comes out of left field and I'm just left absolutely speechless. Just to clarify things, this is not a bailout for ICASA. ICASA gets money from the national fiscus, as any Chapter 9 organization does to perform its operations, right?
Right.
And so its annual budget is around 400 million rand. It brings into the national fiscus, according to ICASA, around 1.3 billion rand in license fees that it charges to telecommunications companies.
100%. Wow, that kind of money.
Yep.
I have no idea.
And now they're holding back on salaries. What are you going to do? Very dire, Jan.
Yes, and so ICASA, obviously they wanted to play this thing up for sort of maximum effect, but reading between the lines, they're not completely without options. They can go into overdraft and stuff to at least pay their staff and service their immediate obligations, but certainly it's completely unnecessary and it's going to create a debt burden on an organization that doesn't need one.
Exactly.
They should just receive their budget.
Exactly. All right, Jan, Simon's got one more story.
Yeah, can you very quickly address the issue of Huawei? And you write that the West has its Huawei smoking gun. We've had arrested FDs in Canada, etc. What's going on?
Yes, so this is a story from Bloomberg, and it's a follow-up on a story they did about backdoors, security vulnerabilities that they discovered in Huawei routers in the United Kingdom. And from the sounds of it, look, there's a lot here and certainly quite a lot to process, especially with the networking equipment that's actually installed on Vodafone's fixed line network in the United Kingdom. They found backdoors in there. Vodafone confirmed it, but Vodafone also said, they worked with Huawei to fix the problems. It's not a big deal, so on and so forth. But yes, according to this one Bloomberg commentator, I thought it's important to just highlight to folks, that there is actually a big battle, raging between, the West and the East, over the future of telecommunications in the world, especially with regards to 5G. Huawei is head and shoulders ahead of everybody else. And so, there's a lot being done from the Western side. So that's whether it's Europe or North America, or the United States in particular, to try and give their technological interests an edge. Nokia is in the game, but they do good hardware, but Huawei can do it more cost effectively. And so there's a big battle raging at the moment to try and ensure that companies like Nokia, Ericsson, and so on, are more competitive to Huawei, and that Huawei doesn't utterly dominate 5G. And so there's a lot of skepticism around the claims.
It doesn't really matter, does it, Jan? Because we're not getting 5G, apparently.
If we don't get spectrum, there's no 5G, right?
Exactly.
But yes, I thought it was an important story to highlight just the current battle between the West and the East for 5G, the 5G technology. And the fact, honestly, there were backdoors discovered in Huawei routers. In the home routers, that's not that new a thing. We've seen that happen with Telkom and Cisco, where they had an agreement and that resulted in a backdoor to try and have a way in for technicians to service routers, but it left them exposed to the internet. And so these things do happen. It's not uncommon for them to happen. It's not just Chinese companies with which this happens. But there is some concern about the backdoors on the core networking equipment that Huawei installed on Vodafone's fiber networks. That is something that needs some more investigation.
Amazing. Jan Vermeulen, editor at large for mybroadband.co.za. Thank you for joining us. Always interesting speaking to you. It's certainly one of the highlights of the week. Thank you so much. And enjoy Workers' Day tomorrow.